The Lord put something in my heart that I think is very, very powerful that we must listen to, and then we pray. Amen. Every time God sends His word comes with power, His word comes with healing, deliverance, and hope. Praise the Lord. This afternoon, the Lord showed me something that it's important we discuss and then we pray about. Every once and again, our assignment is not only to prepare sermons, but to be discerning enough to see what God is saying and to understand what He is doing per time. The Bible talks about the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. Praise the Lord. While I was just putting together this that the Lord would have me share tonight, I got a text message that for me was again a confirmation, and there's a lot going on in our world and in our society that is important we are alive to it, we understand it, and then we pray. There is a growing trend of frustration, please listen very carefully, of depression and exhaustion. These three words the Holy Spirit used speaking to me: frustration, depression, and exhaustion, to be exhausted. And the Lord told me that these are spirits that have been sent to the body even at such a time as this to shortchange many people from stepping into the fullness of God's word and God's purposes in their lives, even for this season. And so my exhortation tonight as we pray is going to deal with two categories of people. Please listen. Number one, those who are severely under attack in their lives in this season. If you belong to this category, I have a word for you tonight. That there are people, there are families, there are individuals who it looks like they are in very, very trying seasons of their lives, where all hell has broken loose over that individual, over that family, and it's important for you to be guided on the steps to take even to victory. Number two, those who are not necessarily attacked, but they are going through phases in their lives that are nothing unusual as far as greatness and destiny is concerned. It's important that we are used by God to help you interpret the happenings in your life so that you are not like them who are void of understanding. It is important that believers mature into understanding times, seasons, and the dealings of the Spirit that comes with all of those times. Are we together now? So we're going to deal with these two categories of people. Can you lift your voice in 1 minute again and ask the Lord for understanding? Father, grant me understanding. Grant me understanding. Grant me understanding. Hallelujah. Amen. Please pay attention. Those following online, pay attention. If you know someone who belongs to these categories, even if not you, please pay attention for their sake. Hallelujah. There are not many things that can discourage a Christian. Please listen carefully. But the few things that can discourage a Christian, when they are there and they remain, the effect of their presence can be disastrous. I have identified two major issues, if I would say, that discourage Christians. Number one is unanswered prayer. There's almost nothing more frustrating to a believer who genuinely loves God as a tragedy of unanswered prayer, that people lift up their voice to heaven believing that God is alive, releasing all their faith as much as they know, and then not getting the answer that should be. Number two is an unfruitful Christian life. An unfruitful Christian life. That means that when your life with time is void of certain evidences that should be testaments of your service, your work for God. It's very, very frustrating when a believer gets born again and opens up his heart, serving the Lord, giving his best, and then with time cannot see the evidences. There are evidences, testaments that help us and help believers around us to appreciate the hand of God upon our life. So unanswered prayers and then an unfruitful Christian life. Now write this down, please. There is a goal. Let me start with those who are severely being attacked by the gate of hell. There is a goal, there is an object behind every attack of Satan. Listen carefully. That every time hell launches an attack on an individual, on a ministry, on a family, on a couple, there is something behind the thinking of the devil and his cohorts. And the Bible did not leave us in the dark as to what Satan is really looking for. And if you do not understand, then you will continually be defeated by all of the attacks of Satan. The first goal behind every attack, the first thing the devil seeks to achieve, is to destroy your confidence in God and the integrity of his word. Please never forget this, that every time the devil attempts to attack a believer, he is attempting to attack your confidence in God and the integrity of his word. What Satan is really attacking is the integrity of God's word. What Satan is attacking is your confidence in God. The Bible says to cast not away your confidence. Why? Because it has a great recompense of reward. Are we together? Your confidence in God. I don't know if I've shared it here, but I remember I was in Jos for a meeting when I met a gentleman who was talking to me about his dad. And he told me his dad was once a reverend in one of these great denominations around, and having been frustrated repeatedly in the field, the man not only turned away from God, he made up his mind that he was going to move to another faith entirely. He was so frustrated, no school fees for his children, no meaning for his life, nothing seemed to work. And he said, look, I've served this God, I've preached about this God, but I'm going to have to stop lying to myself. It does not work. You will think that you may never get to a point where you can consider this. Let me tell you something. Life has a way of pushing a man, a family, an individual to a point where you will doubt the reality of God. Was it not John the Baptist under pressure who said, go and ask him if he's the Messiah or should we expect another? For John to be thinking of another as the person who ordained Jesus, it should tell you what situations and circumstances can do. Are we together? So your confidence in God and the integrity of his word. Number two, the goal of every attack is to introduce the spirit of fear. This subject of fear is very, very, very important. You will be amazed at how many believers have been utterly destroyed because they became the victims of fear. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. There is a reason why he says that. Fear is terrible. It's a destructive spirit. Every other spirit stands in the line waiting for fear to open the door. No other spirit can open any door that fear does not open. Failure waits for fear to open the door. Death waits for fear to open the door. Discouragement waits for fear. All the spirits line up with the potentials of the havoc they can wreak, but then they wait for fear. A man who conquers fear has conquered many spirits automatically. The Bible says, and to deliver them who through fear, the fear of death now, have all their lifetime been subject to bondage. Praise the Lord. Fear. Believers live in fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of this and that and that and that. Today you see young people, even teenagers, having high blood pressure. This is something that a teenager should have no business with ordinarily. But fear, fear, fear of the future. How will tomorrow be? How will this happen? How will that happen? And that fear creates a lot of worry. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus took out time to teach and explain again and again on the fruitlessness of worry. He said, which of you by worrying can add even a cubit to his hair? He said, consider the lilies of the valley. Consider the birds of the air. They break a fundamental law of sowing and reaping. Yet your Father, your heavenly Father, is benevolent enough to make sure they are not hungry. Please listen very carefully. Sooner or later in your Christian experience, hell will be interested in you. I guarantee you, except you do not love the Lord and you do not keep growing. A time will come when the impact that you continue to make will attract the attention of hell. Who is this young man who wants to rise and do what has never been done in this family? For as long as you remain down, that's all right. But then it's like a spiritual thermometer. There is a level when you rise to, you attract the attention of hell. And they say, what is going on here? If we allow this young Moses, he can tomorrow be the deliverer. Do not take the baby for granted. Kill him while he's a baby. Don't allow him grow. The potentials of his growth can be dangerous. And so discouragement comes. Discouragement. So many believers, listen, so many families have had, especially in this time that we live in, their faith shaken, discouraged. Students are discouraged. Workers discouraged. Graduates discouraged. Pastors discouraged. Church members, you know, it looks like there is this air of discouragement and depression. When you say praise the Lord, people cannot say hallelujah. In their minds, they say, for what? Hallelujah comes from the word halal Yeshua. Praise the one who saves. That's what it means. You say, where is the salvation that I should praise him? Talk to an average believer about God. He will prefer you talking about rapture than talking about the faithfulness of God. Don't mention that word faithful to him, because he tells you, I don't know what you are talking about. That reality is foreign to my experience. I do not yet know God as faithful. Faithful means keeping to your word. Faithful means justifying your integrity at all times. Please listen very carefully. So believers have been attacked here and there, and they think that the attack, listen, they think the attack is just on them, just because they are Christians, or just because the devil does not want them to have a job or have a child and so on and so forth. Listen, the devil is looking more than you. He's trying to use you to make a statement to God that you are not faithful. So when you read scriptures like, since I was young and now I am old, he says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg for bread. And you think of all your family members in light of this. He said, but this is a lie. This is not true. Foreign to my experience. And when the devil wants to make the statement stronger, he will handpick serious believers. He knows the impact. Listen, the discouragement of a serious believer has more impact than that of a believer that is not serious. Someone who is not serious with God, if he tells you things are not working, you tell him, what did you ever engage? I mean, we watched you in all that laziness, no prayer, no nothing. But when a brother who has been a prayer warrior serving in church, when a sister who has been serving faithfully in church, 2 years, 3 years, no child, 4 years, no child, then she now gets pregnant and everybody begins to rejoice. Then at the fifth or sixth month, she will lose the baby in a way that can cause a problem. Listen carefully. That impact, another believer will now say, my God, what is this? If you don't listen to what I'm telling you, a time will come you will not see the need to continue again. There are many believers who are sitting down, but they've left God since. They are just coming to church because they know if you don't see him in church, you say, I didn't see you here yesterday. But the truth is that their hearts are not with God again. They are not yet bold enough to go to a herbalist, but you can be sure one leg is already coming out of the things of God. And that includes preachers. The frustration of fasting and praying for genuine spiritual power, going around and emptying my accounts in need for impartation, only to return back with nothing that shows I was called. When an aspect of your life has results, and then another aspect does not have results, you can at least find consolation. Listen, but when every area of your life lacks result, it's a cause for concern. Usually it will not disturb you till other brethren start saying, but why is this so? An attack on your confidence in God. You started your Christian experience loving God. You made bold and audacious statements about God. And while you made that statement, hell kept quiet like they didn't hear you. I will never leave the Lord, no matter what happens. I will stand for him. I will stand by him. It doesn't matter. And now 5 years without a child, and you don't have the courage to make the same statement you made 10 years ago. I will never give anybody bribe to get a job. Remember, you said it. And now here is a job that can reward you. Only if you can fish out 150,000, you can pay it back in a month. Your integrity is at stake. You made a statement that you will never bribe. But jobs continue to pass you again and again until the day your loved ones look at you and say you are a foolish portrait of a believer. Watching you is a discouragement to me. At first you would think that it did not touch you until you sit later on and say, but God, are you not watching? And then heaven is silent. Are we together? When believers do not get results, they are vulnerable. When believers do not get results, they are vulnerable. Please listen to me. When believers consistently do not get results, they are vulnerable. They are put in a position where the faithfulness of God seems to be an issue that is worth debating about. Behind every attack is the desire to challenge your confidence in God. Is your desire to challenge the integrity of God's word. Hallelujah. I got a text this afternoon about a gentleman who killed himself or so. I heard the story that there was a gentleman who killed himself. And if I'm right, I was told that the gentleman's brother or relative also killed himself. Now imagine, please, ladies, imagine that you gave birth to children who killed themselves. Not that they died, not a car accident, not sickness. You left your child, hugging your child in the morning and say, make sure I see you in the evening. And then you see people running somewhere and you join them thinking it's someone else's child. And there you see your child, and the testimony is that he killed himself. Think of what society will do to you. Think of what other women will say about you. Say, this woman must have been wicked. It means that you do all kinds of things. Sometimes it seems like death is better than living. This is why people have the courage to kill themselves. And if you ignore a man that killed himself and don't help other people, very soon an entire area will begin to kill themselves. It's a spirit, but I've taught you how spirits work. They don't come and work with nothing. There is a raw material. They use your frustration as a raw material. They use your depression as a raw material. They create a system around your frustration. And that becomes the entry and the access point to your life. But we have come tonight to call the devil a liar. In the name of Jesus Christ. It says, but I know whom I have believed. Hallelujah. And I am persuaded. Listen to me. It is important. I will continue to teach this here, Koinonia. It is important the depth of your spiritual foundation. Remember my teaching a few weeks ago? That the deeper and the more solid your foundation, the more unbending you will be in the face of unfavorable situation. There are people who have dug so deep, they have become like Paul. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What shall separate us from the love of God? And then he begins to list a lot of things. Shall persecution, shall famine, shall A, B, and C. Frustration. And then the spirit of fear. You look around and see fear all over people's eyes. Fear. Financial fear. Marital fear. Fear of children. Fear of raising children. It will be very irresponsible of any preacher and any man of God to ignore these truths, especially in light of the realities that are in our world today. When people begin to hang themselves, when people begin to run away in discouragement, go to the hospitals, go to the psychiatric wards, and see all kinds of people, young people, talking to themselves out of depression and frustration, something is wrong. There has to be a people who will rise and say, Satan, you are a liar. Jesus is still on the throne, and our convictions will not shake. We will not bend. Say, I reject fear. Say it again. Say, I reject fear. One more time. Say, I reject fear. Fear is a spirit. Reject it. Open your mouth in 1 minute. I reject fear. You are a spirit. I may not know everything about tomorrow, but I know the one who holds tomorrow. Hallelujah. He holds tomorrow. I reject fear. I reject fear. I reject fear. Fear is a spirit, and all spirits are received. Any spirit that is received can be rejected. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, the spirit of power, and of a sound mind. Fear of excelling in ministry, fear of marriage, fear of children, fear of the future of children, fear of finances. How can I tell if I will live to see tomorrow? How can I tell if I will not die in a ghastly motor accident tonight? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Please look up. The believer who will never allow his confidence to be shaken, and a believer who refuses to receive the spirit of fear, That is the believer that will weary Satan to victory. Literally. That you can weary the devil with your convictions. That regardless of what happens around you, you can stand in faith and say, my confidence, Lord, more than ever, I trust you. More than ever, I love you. More than ever, I will follow you. As for me and my house. When a husband loses his job in one day, by the next month, the wife loses her job. By the third month, the child loses admission or something, and three of them are seated with a Bible in the midst of them, full of many promises. And then they do not know what to do. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. At that time, heaven is watching, even as hell is also watching. Those who will not curse God because of their pain. If your pain will make you curse God, you are small. If your pain makes you curse God, you are weak. If your pain makes you curse God, your foundation is not deep enough. Are we together? Job's life kept being manipulated so that he will find offense in God. Even his wife said, look, Mr. Man, this is too bad. Curse God and die. Curse God and die. While I was still preparing this note this afternoon, one of our precious ladies in the worship team just sent me a text and said, they just told me my father has gone to be with the Lord. I'm sure she woke up this